We're beginning the book of Haggai, and the book of Haggai, Haggai's Chayal Malachi, are the final three prophets of Tanakh. They are the three prophets that led us to the building of the Second Temple. The way it worked was the Persian Empire overtook the Babylonian Empire. When the Persian Empire overtook the Babylonian Empire, initially, there was a king called Koresh who permitted us to go and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. We started rebuilding it. Haman's son, among others, sent letters back that if we continue rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash, we will rebel. And then Koresh accepted their letter and said no more building of the Beit HaMikdash. And then we had to stop the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And the next 3 years of Koresh, his reign, we could not continue building. Then 14 years of Ahasuerus from Megillas Esther, during his reign we couldn't rebuild it. And then his son Dariavesh, he becomes king, and he's the one that's going to let us rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. According to Chazal, he is the son of Esther. Now that needs a lot of work, because Esther marries Ahasuerus. If he is the son of Esther, then he's not even 10 years old. So that needs a lot of work if that's to be taken literally. At any rate, whoever this Dariavesh is, and we have difficulty identifying the kings because in certain places the same king can be called Koresh, Ahasuerus, or Dariavesh. Meaning those were names like Pharaoh in those times. So it's very hard to identify which king we're talking about. At any rate, the Navi begins, and the Navi Haggai tells us, Bishnahat shetayim lidariavesh hamelech b'chodesh hashishi b'yom echad l'chodesh. It was the second year of Darius, who is also known as Koresh, the son of Esther, the son of Ahasuerus. In the second year of his reign, the sixth month, so we're dealing in the month of Elul, b'yom echad l'chodesh, so Rosh Chodesh Elul, Hayad var Adonai biyad Haggai hanavi el Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel pachat Yehudah vel Yoshua ben Yotzadak hakohen gadol leimor. The following prophecy is focused to Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel, the leader of the Jewish people at that time. Pachat Yehudah, pachat means the leader, the noble of Judea, was a man by the name of Zerubbabel, the son of Pedaiah, the son of Shealtiel. So Zerubbabel is our leader at that time. Yoshua ben Yotzadak is the Kohen Gadol. And the Navi Haggai is sent to them with the prophecy saying, Ko amar Adonai Tzevaot leimor. So says Hashem, who controls the armies of the world. Hashem says, Hamazeh amiruhu, lo et bo et beit Adonai lehibanot. Lo et, the time is not, the time has not come. Et over here with an ayin means the time. Lo et bo, the people are still saying the time hasn't yet come for us to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So what if this Darius says to build it? It's not going to work. And people are thinking the 70 years that the prophet Jeremiah prophesied aren't up. Every time we thought they were finished, we were wrong. So it hasn't yet come. We thought they were over in the kingdom of Belshazzar, wrong. We thought they were over in the king of Ahasuerus, wrong. So now Daniel thought they were over, wrong. So obviously the time hasn't come. God knows what he meant. We don't know what he meant. It's not yet time. Daniel also erred, yeah. It says that Daniel sat over the books and said, God, why aren't we rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash? Aren't the 70 years up? So the Gemara says in Megillah that Daniel also erred in his calculation. And then the question is, where do you start the count? Meaning in one place, the prophecy of Jeremiah really said 70 years to the Babylonian Empire. So Belshazzar counted from the ascent of the Babylonian Empire. Very simple, 70 years to the Babylonian Empire. What God reveals to Daniel is that what God meant was 70 years to the Babylonian Empire, you'll have the first license to come and rebuild the temple, which is what happened in the year that Koresh took over. He defeated Belshazzar at war, and that year he allowed us to go and build. So the beginning of the redemption would begin 70 years from then. but it would take 70 years from the actual destruction of the temple till we would really be granted a license to really rebuild the temple, which is what Hashem explains to Daniel, which is what's happening here in Chagan. Meaning those 70 years were really up now, in the second year of Dariyavich. 70 years to the destruction of the temple. But that's not what Yirmiyahu said. Jeremiah said 70 years to the Babylonian Empire. Now, if we go in depth, we could understand why is it that the Babylonian Empire is only counted from the time they defeated Jerusalem and the temple. So that needs its own explanation. Why did God word it that way? We also have a tradition that every prophecy has multiple levels of interpretation, multiple potentials of interpretation. And the Talmud tells us that had Koresh, had he taken the responsibility he should have taken, and led us in the ascent to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, the Jewish history would have played itself out differently. Meaning, there were certain sins that caused the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash to be very different than it could have been. When we left Mitzrayim, we prophesized in Az-Yashir that there would be two comings into the land of Israel. And that second coming should have played itself out miraculously, just like Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Navi says coming back from Babylon is going to be even more miraculous than coming back from Mitzrayim. It should have been that way. But we didn't leave Chutz Laaretz. We decided we want to stay in our homes in Brooklyn and everything. It didn't seem like it was so exciting. So most people didn't come. Ezra had to force people's hands. People didn't come. Hashem said, you don't want it. You don't want the redemption. You don't want to come back. Okay, so then I'm not giving you the miracles. And I'm not giving you what I offered you. The prophet said, okay, so prophecies have multiple levels of interpretation. It's still to come. So it won't happen this time. Potentially the 70 years could have been up when 70 years to the Babylonian Empire were up and Koresh gave us that license to go and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Yes, that would have played itself out that way, potentially, had Koresh behaved differently. Had Koresh said, I'll go with you, let's go rebuild it, let's see how we can make it good. But he didn't. Vayhi devar Adonai biyad Chagai hanavi leimo. And so Chagai the prophet had the following prophecy. Notice that the Nevuah is described as being biyad Chagai hanavi. That's an unusual term. And we learned in the Drashot HaRamban, we learned a few weeks ago that Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, being that they were the last prophets, their level of prophecy was lower than the other prophets. So they didn't get clarity in their prophecy. They didn't get a high level of prophecy like other prophets would. So the Navi possibly uses the term biyad as an extension. It's in the hand. It's not the same level of prophecy as the previous prophets. Ha'et lachem ateim lashevit bevateichem sifunim. So the Navi turns to the people. And he says, has the time come for you to live in your comfortable homes, your homes that are covered with beautiful wood? You could live in beautiful homes, but this house, the temple, is going to remain destroyed? Is that the time right now? Is that the way things should be? So Hashem says, I want you to look at what you're doing, look at the way you're running your lives, and realize that this isn't the way things should be. That you live in beautiful homes and the temple is destroyed? No. The Navi says, you know, you've planted a lot and you've only collected a little. You should have reaped more crops when you consider how much you've planted, but you haven't had blessing. Achol ve'ein lesova shato ve'ein leshocha. You eat, but you're not satiated. You drink, but it's not enough to really get drunk on. You'd like to enjoy the alcohol, but you can't because everything has lost its taste. Lavosh ve'ein lechom lo. You dress, but somehow you're not as warm as you should be by the clothing you wear. V'amishtaker, mishtaker, el tziroh nakuv. And if someone, v'amishtaker, mishtaker, el tziroh nakuv. If someone is finally making a living, he is doing business, It's as though he's putting it in a wallet that has a hole in it, that whatever money he makes seems to flow out. It's as though you can't get out of the rut you're in. Why is it that the food doesn't taste the way it should, that the clothing don't warm you the way it should, that the business isn't going the way it should, that the crops aren't growing the way they should? Because the Beit HaMikdash is not only a source of spiritual blessing, it is also a source of material blessing. Chazal say from the day the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the sky never looked as clean and as clear as it did beforehand. The fruits never had the flavor that they had beforehand. This happened again in the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, and it never came back. There used to be a special blessing you would make if it rained and you had a cloudy day, an overcast day, and finally after the rain you saw a clear sky. You can make a special blessing over that beautiful clear sky. Then the rabbi suddenly noticed after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, we don't get such a clear sky anymore. Even when it's blue, it's not the same blue. So they said, no more making that blessing. Yeah?
You said earlier, it said that they lived in a very nice house, and the lavish house was all destroyed. Now it's describing how they didn't have nice material goods. So what is it?
I think they weren't as well off as they could have been, meaning if you considered how much they invested, they should have been making more money. They were not getting to the positions they should have gotten given the investments they made, and yet they were living in houses. They were living in houses that were built and coated in wood. And the Navi obviously is describing it. I don't think everyone had a lavish house. The average person in Israel was poor. But he means to say, you're sitting in fine homes and the temple is destroyed. So he describes it as lavish houses. I'm not sure it means literally that they were all living in wealth.
It means literally it was a curse that they didn't have what to eat or drink when they get them drunk. Or was that they can't really enjoy like stolen fruit. You can't enjoy the forbidden fruit. It doesn't taste good in your mouth. As luscious as it is, it doesn't really taste good in your mouth. Like that. Because if it's destroyed, you're there indulging, you don't really get enjoyment out of it.
I think it means it wasn't as obvious as you plant and you should have 100 tons of crop and you have 10 tons of crop. But there was an element where it was obvious that the crops were more successful beforehand and now there was a substantial decrease. They ate and it wasn't like they didn't feel satiated at all, but they never reached that level of satiation that they should have reached had they... had they eaten the same amount 70 years earlier, before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, they'd be completely satiated. And now they're eating and they're never really full. And the truth is that a person can have this in his own life. When a person feels like everything's destroyed, so then a person also can eat and not be full. And I don't know if you guys ever had it. I don't wish it upon you. But sometimes a person can be enveloped in troubles, and then whatever he does doesn't have the flavor it once had. Someone once said, when you become a bachelor past a certain age, it's like the curse of the snake. At some point, everything tastes like sand. You don't. It doesn't. Nothing has the flavor it should. And that's the nature of a human being. That when he's happy, so then the sun seems brighter, the sounds are sharper. Everything seems to shine. And when he's saddened, so then everything's duller. And the Navi over here is saying, on a spiritual level, on a physical level, on an emotional level, I don't think you have to necessarily discern between them. The simple reading is that it's spiritual. The Navi says, if you don't have your temple, you're not going to have the physical blessings. It goes hand in hand. The temple was not only the spiritual source of blessing in the world, it was also the source of material blessing in the world. And because they didn't have the Beit HaMikdash, so things didn't flourish the way they should. So Hashem says, what's the solution? So what I want of you, Hashem says, is I want you to look at what you're busy with. Go up that mountain. Go bring wood. Go build that house. And I will love that mountain. And I will be honored. I will love that house. And I will be honored with that house, says Hashem. And you'll notice the word ve'kavda is missing a hey. So the Talmud tells us in Gemara Yuma that it's missing a hey because the second Beit HaMikdash was missing five critical points. Hey is the numerical value of five. You didn't have the Aron. The Beit HaMikdash revolves around the holiest of holies is the the two tablets that Moshe brought down from Sinai, the Aron, the Torah. No Aron. It's pretty critical. No Urim V'Tumim. God's hidden name in the Kohen Gadol's breastplate. No, you don't got that. The Kohen Gadol, who's representative of the Beis HaMikdash, he used to be able to answer prophetically to any king or leader of the Jewish people who would ask him. You don't have that. You'd have a heavenly fire consuming the sacrifices. You don't have that. You'd have a representation of the Shekhinah and Ruach HaKodesh. Prophecy would stem from the Beit HaMikdash. You don't have that. So you look at the Beit HaMikdash and you say, okay, what's it any better than any temple I could build down in Babylon? All the unique things. The Torah of the Holy of Holies is not there. The Torah, the prophecy of the Kohen Gadol is not there. Prophecy is not there. Heavenly fire to consume sacrifices is not there. So what is there? Hashem says, "Ve'ertzepo ve'ikavda." Nonetheless, I will love it and I will consider it an honor to me, although it is lacking five critical points. You think that's, well, then what is it? Hashem says, it's my house. It's not going to be on the same level as the first temple, and nonetheless, I will love it and be honored by it, says Hashem. Yes? Okay.
Is that the pshat? What's the reason that we're missing the five things?
I don't know. And the Gemara just says it as a fact that it was missing it. I don't remember that the Gemara spells out that it was because we didn't come. There's a Gemara in Brachos that says we were fit for other miracles. I don't remember that point. Maybe it says not. I don't remember. I don't remember that being spelled out in the Gemara. But it could. I have to look it up. Say there is a Rishon. It's no. Entitled. Yeah.
What
if I was Aaron Kodesh, the Urm Batumim, the heavenly fire? The Shekhinah was represented in the Beit HaMikdash. They had and Ruach HaKodesh in the prophets. Okay, you have a Mizbech, but you don't have a heavenly fire.